It's about you.
6 minutes now past 11 o'clock. Good morning and welcome to Midday on Minnesota Public Radio. I'm Gary Eichten. Glad you could join us. Last year, legislators simply couldn't reach an agreement. And this year, actually this morning, legislators almost fell short once again. But at the last minute, legislative leaders worked out an agreement on how to change the state's profile of learning graduation standard. The agreement will be voted on next Wednesday when the legislature reconvenes for one last day before adjourning for the year. Profile of learning is the other half of the state's graduation standard. While the basic skills tests measure whether students have mastered the basics, profile is supposed to measure whether students have mastered those so-called higher standards. But the profile has come under intense criticism during the 2 years it's been in operation. Virtually everybody has insisted that the profile be modified to make sure it works better for students, and some people have been insisting that the profile be scrapped altogether. Last year, legislators couldn't agree on how to change the program, so it wasn't changed at all. This year, despite weeks and weeks of negotiations, the talks almost broke down again. But an agreement was worked out early this morning. And today on Midday, we're going to take a closer look at what the legislature has agreed to. State Education Commissioner Christine Jax has joined us, and we'll be opening the phone lines for your questions. But first of all, let's get a report on the agreement itself. Here's Minnesota Public Radio's education reporter, Tim Pugmire.
Legislative leaders had wanted to wrap up their big bills by 7 this morning in order to allow enough time to try to override any gubernatorial vetoes. With 8 hours to go, House Republicans decided to hold off a vote on the education spending bill and other measures until the profile of learning matter was resolved. A conference committee met over several weeks but couldn't agree on how best to alter the state's 2-year-old system of graduation standards. House Speaker Steve Swigum said the wait for a deal had gone on too long.
The time comes that you have to make a decision on the profile of learning. The profile has created great problems in our school districts in this state, from teachers to students, administrators to school board members. We hear about the profile no matter where we go, and we're just not going to allow the Department of Education bureaucrats in the state to continue to hold students and teachers, you know, hostage with the profile.
DFL Senate Majority Leader Roger Moe said he wanted to find a compromise that addressed the concerns raised in both legislative bodies. He says he also wants a bill that Governor Ventura can support.
Obviously, it doesn't do us any good to reach an agreement with the House and have the governor veto the bill, because then we're back to square one, and we don't have the kinds of changes that we need.
The Show What You Know profile system has been the focus of complaints since it hit the classrooms 2 years ago. Teachers, parents, and students have complained about the complex system's paperwork, lesson plans, grading system, and impact on academic rigor. The deal they finally reached at 6:15 gives teachers the power to vote to phase in the standards. They'd also be able to advise school boards on whether to use the existing profile or what the House calls the North Star Standards, a back-to-basics approach critics have called a state-sponsored curriculum. Republican Representative Bob Ness says it's important school boards alone get to make that choice.
If you were to just let every building in the state literally do whatever they want, exclusive of the elected Board of Education, who has the responsibility to finance and run the system and provide the resources and the materials, that would be chaos.
DFL Senator Larry Pogamiller says the deal fixes all the problems of the profile. He says it also gives teachers ownership of standards by allowing them to vote on implementation. Pogamiller says he still has concerns about the North Star Standards.
We think that was cooked up in the House retiring room by a few lobbyists and legislators. We're very concerned. We believe the teachers will see that, and that it will be a wise vote of school boards and teachers. They'll be very careful on this North Star curriculum. It's a North Star curriculum.
I'm Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio.
Well, legislators, as we said, are now expected to vote on this modified profile agreement next Wednesday. Christine Jacks, the commissioner of the Children, Families, and Learning Department, has managed to get a few hours of rest, we hope, and she's been good enough to join us this morning to help explain the details of the profile agreement and also to take your calls. So if you have a question about how this new arrangement will work, give us a call here, 651-227-6000, 651-227-6000. Outside the Twin Cities, you can reach us toll-free at 1-800-242-2828, 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. Morning, Commissioner.
Good morning.
Did you get some rest?
I got about 2 hours of sleep last night, which is about the same as I got the night before. So I hope that I can follow the conversation from point A to point B today.
Well, in shorthand form, what was the big hang-up that stalled the talk so long?
Well, you know, the House and Senate had many issues that they needed to work out. At the very end, they became very close, and one of the final issues, I think there were a couple, but one of the final issues is that the Senate wanted teachers to vote as to whether the North Star standards or the profile of learning would be chosen by a district, and the House was adamantly opposed to that. The House did not want the teachers to vote, did not want teachers to have a voice in this. Finally, they compromised by saying that teachers can at least have a non-binding vote so that they could at least voice their opinion. Teachers told me that the reason they wanted to make sure to have a vote, and this was the official position of Education Minnesota that they should vote, is that they don't know anything about the North Star standards, and they don't like the idea of statewide curriculum, especially statewide curriculum written by legislators. And so they wanted to kind of be a safety net for the kids be able to say what their opinion is.
Now, as far as you know, Commissioner, will this agreement now pretty much sail through the legislature, or do you get the sense that this is still very much up in the air, open to debate, amendment, and the rest?
Well, the reason I only got 2 hours of sleep last night and 2 hours the night before is because nothing sails through the legislature. It's a very unpredictable entity. I can say that this compromise really was brought to bear by leadership. And so there is a lot invested in making sure that something happens with the profile. So I think that it is likely to pass both bodies. So I think that we will see this compromise come forward and be given to the governor.
Now, the governor has indicated that he really isn't interested in any major tinkering with the profile of learning, and this does seem like quite a significant change. After all, school districts would be offered an entirely different alternative. Will the governor accept this program?
Well, you know, the governor's got some time to look at it and think about it. It's not going to be on the floor of either body until next week. The governor and I are perplexed, I would say, in that what the governor wanted, what I wanted, and what we heard the people of Minnesota say is that the profile of learning was confusing, it had some problems, and it needed to be fixed. And while that was addressed by this legislature, I don't know that they didn't add more confusion, because in addition to fixing the problems of the profile, they came forward with this new statewide legislative-written curriculum that districts can also choose. So we've got to, if it passes and the governor signs it, we have to get out there and make sure that people understand that now they have two things to choose from. One are standards, one is curriculum, one we can tell them a little bit about, and pilot studies were done on, one we don't have such information. So really this is a time that if it does pass the legislature and if it does get signed by the governor, that parents and community members throughout our state really need to pay attention and really need to get involved. Because this could be a change.
If this agreement does fall through and the profile isn't changed, can it survive yet another year of criticism?
Well, I think so. I think that some of the criticism lightened up last year as we were able to go forward and help out. We came up with a new brochure that really explained things to parents and teachers better, more clearly. We got clarification on the performance packages, and teachers finally got the message that, hey, you don't have to use performance packages. You can use your own curriculum as an assessment tool. We were able to get the repository going, which is an interactive website for teachers to share curriculum with each other, and that helps them. And we have software out there that also helps districts and teachers with the scoring and the record keeping. So I think that if this does fall through, we have made progress and we can continue to go forward. We can continue to give more training and support to the teachers as we have been doing as well.
Mm-hmm. Just a couple of questions about this, what would be the modified version of the profile, assuming the agreement is adopted, and then we can get some listener questions in, talk about the North Star standard and the rest. But in terms of the profile itself, big changes in the paperwork requirements?
Well, not so much in the paperwork requirements, but some of the things that we as the administration asked for are there, and that is that the performance packages have been clarified. You don't have to use them. The mandate that some kind of performance package has to be used is not there. Teachers can use other performance assessments. The students are held harmless. I think that your listeners have probably heard me talking about this before and have heard others talk about it. I came forward and asked for this last year and then a few months ago as well. And that is that because there have been implementation problems, the students who were first supposed to be held accountable, those students now in 10th grade and then also the 9th graders coming up, should not have their diplomas withheld if they don't have all of the standards met. And so the legislature has agreed on that. And the other thing that we have talked about a lot is that students were not being scored at grade level. We'd have a ninth grader who was getting a 1 or 2 on the standard, even though the student was an A student. And that was because all 9th, 10th, and 11th graders were held at a 12th grade standard. Well, now the ninth graders will be graded at wherever that school district puts the standard. So if they put it in ninth grade, the student is graded at ninth grade. So those are probably the three most significant changes in this current legislation, and it's those are three things that we really supported.
Mm-hmm. And what about the advanced classes? The students are taking these advanced classes. Would they get some special consideration in terms of meeting the profile requirements?
Well, now I haven't seen this very last bill. You know, there have been a lot of bills and a lot of discussion all through the night going on behind the scenes. So I don't know exactly how they finally agreed, other than I do know that PSEO, the post-secondary enrollment options for students, those are kids in high school who then take college-level courses at the colleges, those students are going to be held harmless for the next 3 years until something is worked out. And my understanding of the bill is that MNSCU, the U of M, and colleges will have to assure that the standards are actually in their courses.
Mm-hmm. Christine Jax is with us. She's the commissioner of the Department of Children, Families, and Learning, and she's been good enough to join us this morning to talk about the agreement that was reached early this morning on how to change the profile of learning program. The change includes offering school districts an alternative program called the North Star Standard. Now, the legislature hasn't actually voted on, the full legislature hasn't voted on this agreement yet. That is scheduled to occur on Wednesday. But Commissioner Jax has joined us by phone today to outline what's in this agreement, give you folks an opportunity to get your questions answered. And if you'd like to join in, give us a call here, 651-227-6000, 651-227-6000, outside the Twin Cities, 1-800-242-2828, 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. Mary, go ahead, please.
Hi, Christine, this is a question for you. I'm Mary Jacobson, and I have a group of approximately 20 students that are listening to you from Augsburg College. These are students who are spending about their last week with us before many of them go out into the field, and we have just ended our semester talking about the profiles, specifically review, listen, and write and speak. And I'm wondering, what is some advice you can give for our students as they enter the field, specifically about the profiles, and what's the core information they need to know, not only to get that first job, but to be able to be really proficient and understand and be successful their first year?
Well, a lot of questions there. Well, first of all, congratulations to all of you for wanting to become teachers and for accomplishing that. In order to get that first job, well, look around for a good fit because you are entering the field at a time when there's a teacher shortage. So that means that a lot of districts want you, and it's a great opportunity for you to figure out what school district really is a great fit for you and to look at that. I would say, you know, young teachers, new teachers often are discouraged in the first couple years because It is a lot of hard work, and some of the things that they learn translate into the field differently than they might have expected. And I would say, you know, hang in there and continue to believe in yourself and students. New jobs are always hard. We need you there, and we're happy to have you there. So, you know, don't get discouraged. Look for mentors within the schools, because there are a lot of more experienced teachers who are eager to help you and work with you. And regarding the profile of learning, know that you can use your own curriculum for the performance assessments, and also know that if you are, especially if you're younger teachers in addition to being new teachers, that the profile of learning is more similar to some of your experiences in college as well as in high school and grade school, and that is actually applying the knowledge. So don't feel that it's a daunting task in front of you. It's a rewarding task, and I believe based on what grade school Augsburg is, that you will all do very well.
Now, as these teachers get ready to deal with the profile of learning, they are facing the prospect of also dealing with the North Star Standard. Can you give us a capsule description of what that is, or how it differs from the profile of learning program?
Well, that would, I guess, be another message I'd have for these incoming teachers as well as other teachers. You know, I know you're busy. I know you have a lot of work to do, and you take work home to grade for your students and prepare, but you have to really be paying attention. You cannot listen to what other people say the profile is and what the North Star Standard is. You can't listen to just me on the radio and make a decision or use any kind of anecdote. Read the North Star Standard. Read the profile of learning, because you're going to be asked to vote. Your vote matters, and having it be a vote based on knowledge is crucial. I would say that the biggest difference is that the contents, the profile, are content standards. They don't tell you how you have to get there. They just tell what the student needs to learn. The North Star Standard is a statewide curriculum. It is more prescriptive. It tells you what the curriculum needs to look like. It's course requirements to get to a particular body of knowledge, and it outlines what that body of knowledge is. In addition, there's a lot of work for teachers in addition to what they do. And according to the North Star Standards, teachers have to put in the library and report what they are doing every day, what their syllabus is, what instructional materials are that they are using. So they have that additional burden in the North Star Standard.
Mm-hmm. To try to clarify a little bit more, would students under the North Star Standard still have to show what they know through these demonstration projects? That's been kind of the catchphrase used to describe what happens with the profile of learning.
No, they don't have to apply knowledge or demonstrate knowledge. Certainly some teachers might do that, because a lot of teachers have been doing that in the past. But it's possible that students could do the North Star Standard and use the statewide curriculum and then just be tested. As a matter of fact, when we at the agency went through the North Star Standard and saw all the tests in there, we counted that there would be 59 new tests for students from grades K through 12 with the North Star Standard, and not necessarily any ability for students to demonstrate their knowledge in a hands-on applied manner.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the phones. Lynn, your question, please.
Yes, I am a teacher, and five, 6 years ago when I was teaching, I first learned about profiles in learning, and I was very excited about it, very excited about the idea of applying what you know, and also felt that the cognitive and thinking skills in profile learning were really superior. So I was completely excited. However, my two children are in the Minneapolis public schools, and there we, as a parent, and I'm speaking as a parent, the parents were given virtually no information about profiles in learning before our children were actually into the curriculum. And then I found out that not only did parents not know, but teachers seemed to not know what profiles in learning were about. So while on the one hand I was very excited about them, I felt there was a huge, huge breakdown on these forward-looking thinkers who had developed profiles in learning. There was a lack, an incredible lack of communication. And I'm wondering, how did you all let that happen?
Well, that's, you know.
And do you think it's been remedied? Because I feel that the fallout has been the profiles in learning has, is now being set back quite a bit because of an original lack of communication from the administration. It seemed very top-down, and people were not happy with that.
Well, Lynn, you're absolutely right. And when I took this job a little over a year ago, that is one of the first things that I learned, that parents were seemingly not even considered at all in the equation in getting information out. And you're right, teachers, it was more of a top-down dictated thing rather than bringing them to the table on a regular basis to say, what is it we need to do? How can we help you? I do think that we have improved that. I think we still have a ways to go to make sure that teachers and parents both know what the profile is and why it's a good thing. But I also have to come clean at this point and say that as we're trying to narrow down and focus the communication and make it easier for people to understand, if this bill passes and the governor signs it, we do have something more out there, and we do have now the potential for more confusion because we have this statewide curriculum called the North Star Standard that we will also have to explain to people. So I'm hoping the waters won't get more muddied, but now our task is a little bit more difficult.
Now, one part of this agreement, as I understand it, is that assuming a district stays with the Profile of Learning program, teachers then would be, is it on a school-by-school basis, voting on how to phase in the program? How would that work?
Well, and I believe it's still at the site. I do believe it's still the school-by-school that the teachers will vote, but I have to say that's one of the things that was a little bit of a moving target over the last couple of days as the legislators talked. Yeah, and I think that's really important. That is what's in, I believe, in the legislation right now. As for teachers, once the teachers and the board have decided whether they're going with the North Star Standard or the Profile, if they've chosen to go with the Profile, the teachers and the board then vote on how many standards they are going to have. We support this because, as Lynn was mentioning, the teachers weren't as engaged as they should have been and weren't as informed as they should have been. It really makes the districts have to inform the teachers very fully. The teachers, of course, will want to get more information because not only will they be teaching it, but they will be voting on it. And then they also have the opportunity to say, I, as a fifth grade teacher, know that in our district, at this school, this is all we can teach at this point in time. We can get up to maybe more standards the following year, but this is what we need to do, and this is all we can do, or this is how much we want to do. But it gives the experts at the site the ability to weigh in.
Doesn't that move the state away from the idea, though, that one diploma or diplomas all mean the same thing if each school is kind of deciding for itself just how many of these standards students in their school have to meet?
Well, you know, theoretically, yes, but the way we're looking at it is that implementation is something that does take time, and we're still in the early implementation stages of the profile. And we also believe that Minnesotans are competitive in the best of ways in wanting the students to get the best education and to excel. So I don't think that we're going to see districts competing to the bottom or districts going to the bottom. I think we're going to see them going to the top. I think as one district says or one site says, hey, we can do all 24 standards, another one will say, well, we can do 18. Well, I don't think in the years after they're going to try to get from 18 to 12. I think they're going to try to get from 18 to 24 because everyone's going to want to have the best they can.
Mm-hmm. Will a student who graduates from a district that has stuck with the Profile of Learning program, will he or she get the same diploma, or will the diploma mean the same thing, as a student who graduates from a district that has moved to this new North Star standard?
No, those diplomas will not mean the same thing. And that is something that is of concern to me and the governor. We like the idea that if there is going to be the North Star Standard out there, that the school boards and districts get to vote on whether they accept them or not. And by the way, the governor and I wanted this to be a binding vote. As I mentioned earlier, so did the Senate. The House didn't want the teachers to weigh in at all. The compromise is that the teachers get a non-binding vote, but they at least get to let the public and the school board know their opinion. But I have to say, you know, that's as the governor is deciding whether to sign the bill or not, one of the things that he will be looking at is that he wants statewide uniform standards, and if more than a couple districts choose the North Star standard, then we don't have that any longer, and what does that mean for the kids and equity in our state? The other thing I have to say is that there are some problems within the North Star standard. And we get $100 million, that's $100 million from the federal government into our state based on the Elementary and Secondary Education Act. Some of that money, if not all that money, could be at risk if the North Star standard has the problems that we're seeing in it, especially with English language learners. So we do have some concerns that we have to look into, and there could be some federal money in jeopardy.
Is there an easy way to describe if, let's say, an employer were looking at two prospective employees, one of whom came to them with a diploma under a profile of learning program, one from the North Star program? Is there an easy way to say what those students in general learned?
Right. With the North Star standard, we would very clearly be able to say students were in these courses, students learned, students were taught this body of knowledge. With the content standards, we can say students learned, you know, as a difference from being taught. You know, the North Star standards focuses on what students were taught. The Minnesota standards, the profile of learning, focuses on what students learned. And in addition, instead of saying what courses were they in, you know, where did they, you know, sit, what did they go through, we can say what knowledge can they apply. So I think that those are the key things, being able to apply knowledge and what you were taught versus, or what you learned versus particular courses and what you were taught.
Christine Jacks is with us. She's the commissioner of the Department of Children, Families, and Learning, and she's joined us this morning to help explain the agreement that was reached early this morning by legislative leaders on how to modify the state graduation standards, essentially modifying the existing profile of learning program and adding an alternative for Minnesota school districts, the North Star standard. The full legislature will vote on this agreement next Wednesday, and Commissioner Jacks has joined us today to give us a better idea of exactly what's in that bill. If you have a question, give us a call, 651-227-6000, 651-227-6000. Outside the Twin Cities, you can reach us toll-free at 1-800-242-2828. We'll get some more callers in just a couple of minutes.
Public Affairs programming on NPR is supported by the Minneapolis office of Shandwick International, a public relations firm dedicated to helping clients tell their stories through local, national, and international services.
To filmmaker John Waters, there's a difference between shock value and shock for the sake of shock.
I use shock as a weapon of humor, but I've always tried to make people laugh, not shock them. It's easy to just be shocking. It's hard, much harder to be witty and use shock as a tool of that wit, which is why, hopefully, what I'm trying to do.
John Waters talks about his life, his films, and the retrospective of his work at The Walker on Word of Mouth this Friday night at 6 on Minnesota Public Radio.
Time now for news headlines. Here's Greta Cunningham. Greta?
Good morning, Gary. Philippine authorities say they want to talk to two students about the I Love You email virus. Authorities say the two are not official suspects, but their college says the students both wrote software programs that may have been combined to make the virus. Computer virus experts are talking to lawmakers on Capitol Hill today. Several lawmakers questioned why computer and antivirus companies were unable to prevent last week's attack from the love bug. The computer experts insisted that consumers and businesses must do more to protect themselves against a pervasive virus. An official with the General Accounting Office says computer hackers are growing more sophisticated while businesses are becoming more vulnerable. Someone has defaced a memorial in Columbia, South Carolina. That's the focus of the Confederate flag battle. The monument to Confederate war dead sits in front of the State House. Legislation that recently cleared the Senate proposed moving the Confederate flag atop the State House dome to where the monument is. This morning, officials say they found the words, "Take it down, don't put it here," spray painted in red on the Confederate monument. Lawmakers are in their second day of debate on what to do about the controversial flag. In regional news, Minnesota lawmakers are getting some rest after they passed all major bills by this morning's 7 a.m. deadline. That allowed the legislature to recess with enough time to return next week for possible veto overrides. The Senate approved the bonding bill just before the deadline. Best Buy officials say they're planning to open 15 stores this fall in suburban New York City. The Eden Prairie-based company is also planning to open 45 additional stores nationwide this year. The company now has 358 stores in 39 states. The forecast for the state of Minnesota calls for scattered showers and thunderstorms in the west. Those storms will spread to the east by sometime this afternoon. High temperatures today from 68 in the northeast to near 78 in the south. At this hour, a report of rain throughout the region. St. Cloud reports light rain and 50 degrees. Skies are cloudy in Duluth, a temperature of 59. And in the Twin Cities, some scattered light rain, a temperature of 54. Gary, that's a look at the latest news.
All right. Thank you, Greta. It's about 24 minutes before noon. This is Midday on Minnesota Public Radio, and our guest this hour is Christine Jacks, who is the commissioner of the Department of Children, Families, and Learning, and she's joined us this morning to talk about the agreement that was worked out early this morning by legislative leaders on ways to change the state's graduation standards, essentially modifying the existing profile of learning program and offering school districts an alternative to the profile of learning called the North Star Standard. Lisa's on the line with a question for the commissioner. Go ahead, Lisa.
Hi, Commissioner Jacks. I have three questions, actually. One is, did they keep the language in the bill regarding the comparability between the profile and the North Star Standard in that effort to maintain the federal fund? That's my first question. My second question is, I understood that not all the House conferees have signed, so that actually this isn't a conference committee report per se so far, but a more of a gentleman's agreement, so I'm wondering if I've missed something on that. And my third question is, if you can give me some idea of where the governor is on this. I know you can't speak for him, but does he feel friendly toward signing this compromise?
Well, as for the comparability, I'm happy to say that the comparability language is there, as far as what I was told yesterday. And I was told that after the agreement was reached, and it was Chairperson Larry Pogemiller who told me that. So the comparability language is there. That means that there's at least some assurance that those districts who choose the North Star Standard, although it's curriculum compared to standards, at least has some rigor built into it. As far as have all of the conferees signed, I left the Capitol this morning at about 8:30 in the morning, and at that point, no. They had not all agreed. Lisa, it was a gentleman's agreement, although I think that Mary Ellen Otremba was one of them who signed, and so was Martha Robertson, so a gentlewoman's agreement as well. And as for what the governor will do, I don't know what the governor will do at this point. He does have a week to look at it and decide, and we have a week to discuss it. He's going to be concerned about, more confusion and the possibility of not having statewide standards out there due to the North Star Standard. He wanted the teachers to be able to vote, although I think that the fact that they can at least have a non-binding vote will be some encouragement for him. But he did want teachers to vote. So I think that there are some things that are going to give him pause. On the other hand, he did want clarification on performance packages. That's there. He wanted the students in 9th and 10th grade right now to be held harmless. That is there. And he wanted students to be scored at the grade level they're in. And that is there. So I think that we're going to just have to take time over this week to really assess what is in this conference committee report. And you know what, we're talking about what the governor will do. You know, we're still not sure what either of the bodies will do. While this was crafted by leadership, you know, Roger Moe and Pawlenty and Swiggum were all involved, this week does give time for senators and House members to look at the bill and decide whether they want to vote on it as well.
Certainly not a done deal then.
No, it is not a done deal, although we thought it might have been last night. We thought it might have gone to both floors, but it didn't happen. So we'll have to see what happens on the 17th.
Mm-hmm. Jim, your question, please.
Good morning, Commissioner Jacks. Thank you very much for taking time to try to clarify this graduation standards question now that we have something on to discuss. My question is sort of the mechanics of the process of either adopting the graduation standards or adopting the North Star standards. Is it all or nothing, or is there a combination that can be crafted at a local school district level, or how do we go about doing this?
Well, the last version of the bill that I saw, it was kind of an all or nothing between the two choices, that being the state standards, which is the profile of learning, or the North Star standard. And so that's what teachers are going to have to vote on, and boards are going to have to vote on. I don't know that anyone's going to be able to put together that vote and then also put together the curriculum, for instance, if they choose North Star Standard, by this fall. So I think the earliest we would see any kind of change would be the following year. But the mechanics right now, basically the school board votes and then the teachers weigh in and basically say whether they agree with the school board or not in the choice between the North Star Standard curriculum or the statewide standards, the profile of learning.
The teachers would vote after the school board had made its decision, just kind of, we think you made a good decision or we think it was a bad decision, but the decision presumably would stand, or?
Well, now that was my understanding in the language early on. That's one of those things that could have changed. It could be a different order in the vote. The teachers just cannot have veto power. It's a non-binding vote. I would like to think that if you are in a district and, you know, 500 teachers say we do not want the North Star standard, we want the profile of learning, that the school board is certainly going to think about that among the other things that they'll think about before they fully decide what they're doing. So, you know, maybe the vote of the teachers would go first.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's important the teachers are going to weigh in. They're the experts who are actually going to have to implement whatever is chosen. So I'm glad that they have at least a non-binding vote, although the governor and I wanted it to be binding.
In terms of the profile, and I think this gets kind of confusing for listeners, but back to the profile for a moment, the teachers get to vote on that in terms of the phase-in of the program. That vote, though, is binding, is it not?
Yeah. Oh, yes, and, you know, it's so interesting, as you say, well, this is getting kind of confusing. You know, part of my frustration is I thought the citizenry, if they gave any message to the legislature, was please clear this up. We're so confused. Please clear this up. And I don't think things were cleared up. I think we've got more out there, and I think it's more confusing. But, yes, there are two votes. The initial vote is with the school board and the teachers. The teachers, it's non-binding. And that initial vote is, do you want the North Star standard curriculum or do you want the profile of learning state standards? If a district decides to choose the profile of learning, then there is another vote with the board and the teachers. This time it's binding for the teachers, and that is, how many content standards do you want at which level?
Commissioner Christine Jacks has joined us to share some information about what's in that agreement that was reached early this morning on essentially changing the state's graduation standards, modifying the existing profile of learning program, and offering school districts an alternative to the profile called the North Star standard. It is a complex agreement. But central to the state of education here in Minnesota, and a question that's gotten a lot of attention these last few years. If you have a question about this new arrangement, give us a call, 651-227-6000, 651-227-6000, outside the Twin Cities, 1-800-242-2828, 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. Gary, your question, please.
Good morning, Christine. A comment, I guess. As I've watched my sophomore try to struggle with dealing with some of the application stuff that comes back, and it seems like at times the knowledge that's being trying to be applied or tested is a little obscure, what I'm wondering and the question I have is, what are you in the department doing to, you know, as you talk about the teachers voting on this and the school board, and I know that parents through the school board have maybe input, but what specifically, what you and the department are doing to ensure that school districts do a better job of getting information out to parents to help in this discussion?
Well, that's really important, Gary. And I had mentioned that earlier, that I don't think that we had gotten information out to parents in the best way. Well, we're going to have to do a media campaign ourselves. We don't have a lot of money to do something like that, so we're going to have to figure out the best ways to get the best bang for our buck in reaching parents. We have a new brochure that explains the profile. We'll probably need to come up with something that does kind of a comparison between the profile and the North Star standard. And then we have to do training of districts and make sure that they realize how important it is to have parents involved and parents giving input, because the parents don't have a vote directly. Certainly they vote for the school board members who have a vote, but they don't have the direct kind of vote that the teachers have. So I think that it's really important that they pay attention to what's happening, and we help them get that information so that they can talk to the teachers and so that they can find out where the teachers are planning on voting, where their classroom teacher, their child's teacher is going to vote, and ask them why and get more information that way. I think the positive thing about having a choice out there now, and so I think that will give people more interest to find out what's going on and what the differences are. And I think that we're going to have a dialogue going on like we haven't had before. And that's always good for our kids and good for improving the state.
Elizabeth, your question, please.
Okay. I'm confused a little bit as a parent in understanding the choices per district. If a family moves into a district that endorses the second standard, how is this transferred within the child's learning plan without hindering or causing hardship to the child? That's my first part of the question.
I have no idea. You know, that's one of the things that we were concerned about when we saw the legislature doing this. If one district is doing the North Star standard and a district next door is doing the profile of learning and a student moves back and forth, depending on what year they come in, that is going to be problematic, and districts are going to have to figure that out, and we're going to give them technical assistance and try to work with them on that. But, you know, as I've said this morning a couple times, that, you know, legislators were charged with making things easier and simpler, and I think they've gone to a little bit more confusing state. I think that we're probably going to have to come forward next legislative session and say, okay, here are some problems between the two, or here are some problems when somebody moves from one district to another. So I do think that Elizabeth's onto something. We were already working out what happens from district to district if they have content standards of the profile placed in different classes. Now we've got a whole different situation, almost as if a student were moving from state to state.
Right.
Did you have a follow-up, Elizabeth?
Well, I was going to put in two other pieces of information that if that's the case, then is the child required to prove where they are academically? It takes some type of test to see where they're at, or is the family refrained from transferring into a district that has the second standard?
Well, we would never tell somebody they can't move. So no one is going to be told that they can't move to another district. The students will always be accepted into new districts, you know, if there's, you know, room in the schools. I think what we're going to have to do is, as part of the comparability that we're going to look at, that the legislature wants us to do between the North Star standard and the profile, we're going to have to look at if there's any way to figure out, does the North Star standard, for instance, meet any of the graduation standards, see if we can help districts figure out how to do a translation back and forth. I would imagine, anyway, that wherever the student eventually resides when they're graduating is what they're going to have to meet. It seems to me, in looking at doing the comparison, that it's going to be difficult for a student moving in the high school years to prove that they've met either criteria. A lot of testing in the North Star standards. So I don't know, if you move into a North Star district in high school, does that mean you suddenly have to take, you know, 20 tests to catch up? I don't know. And if you move into a profile district, does that mean you have to show that you can apply knowledge in 24 content standards? That's another good question that we'll have to wrestle with, that is just going to add, you know, more confusion out there.
Brad, your question?
Yes, I'm on a school board in the First Ring suburb. And we have been working with this profile for years, since it started. And every year, our teachers look at the legislature and say, okay, where is it going to go now? They have spent hundreds of hours for our departments trying to figure out how to fit the standards in, and it's constantly being changed. They're being forced to try to hit a moving target. Somehow, the legislature has to stop playing with it, settle it down, and let people get on to the job of implementing the standards, or do away with them. Do not keep moving the standards on us or bringing up other options or other alternatives.
Well, Brad, I agree with you, Brad. And also your association, the Minnesota School Boards Association, has been saying that as well. That's one of the reasons that we at the agency don't think that a lot of school boards are going to adopt the North Star standard. We hear from too many school board members who say, okay, this has been difficult. There have been some problems. Implementation in some cases has been slow. We still have things to figure out, but we've been doing it, and we've been doing it well, and we've been moving forward. We're not going to stop now and try something brand new, something untested, something we don't know anything about. So I think that Brad is an example of school board members who are very likely going to stick with the profile because they see it is working and there are things that can be worked out in it.
Bill, your question?
Yeah, I was actually worried, considering the question about what colleges and universities and other maybe higher education places are going to do to evaluate the performance of Minnesotans, whether or not they've gone through this profile of learning or North Star standard. There's a certain body of history about current expectations for education. I just wonder how our students will compete against people in California or London or Tokyo when we have these new standards in place.
Well, I think that that's an excellent question. There are kind of two layers to that, and one is What are the colleges and universities going to think when they see diplomas coming out of Minnesota, and especially when they see two different kinds of diplomas coming out of Minnesota? And I think we're at the state, my agency is going to have to make sure that we get information to the colleges and universities regarding the fact that we now have two different things that students can do. And that's one level. The other level is, what is it that colleges can know that students know based on whether they did the North Star Standard or based on whether they've done the profile of learning? I think that, I know that the move has been more toward content standards. Every state in this country except Iowa has content standards, and schools and universities and colleges are getting more used to that. And the profile of learning came about in part because of the concern colleges and universities had that the diploma didn't mean what it said it meant, and they had students who didn't have the knowledge they needed and, more importantly, couldn't apply the knowledge that they had. So I think that we're going to see colleges and universities preferring students who are who can show that they and can demonstrate that they have the ability to apply the knowledge. And that's what it's going to take if we're going to have students who can compete globally and compete with Tokyo and other countries that tend to do better than we do, especially in math and science.
Before we wrap up, a quick question about the other half of the graduation standards, Commissioner Jacks, which are not addressed, which is not addressed, I should say, in this agreement on the profile of learning. That's the basic skills tests. I see that information is out today indicating that over 98% of the seniors actually passed the test, so they'll get a diploma. Is there any thought, though, to backing away from that requirement for a diploma? I know Senator Paul Wellstone and some others are saying that a range of things should be taken into account, not just the ability of students to pass that test.
Well, Senator Wellstone is both right and wrong. He's right in the sense that we do have to have other measures of whether a student is learning, and, of course, in Minnesota we have that. We have the basic skills test, the math and the reading that first starts in eighth grade, and then the writing that's in 10th grade. And, of course, we have what we've just been talking about, the profile of learning, the other part of the graduation standards. So we do have multiple ways that students can be assessed and their learning can be assessed. But Senator Wellstone is clearly wrong as to what is actually happening in Minnesota and whether these high stakes are bad for our kids. He's very concerned about high-stakes tests, but in Minnesota we have accommodations for special education students. That's one of his concerns. The other concern is that students don't have a chance to retake the test, and as we all know, our students have multiple times. They can do it several times a year from 8th grade all the way to 12th grade. And as you mentioned, we only have about 1.5% that still have not passed the test. I think that's something Minnesotans can be proud of. Certainly it's a disappointment when anyone can't pass the test, but these kids can go on and try this summer and even next year. But the fact that we went from several thousand down to a couple hundred means that Minnesotans and the students especially buckled down and got the job done, and these kids are passing the test.
And just to review again, you're not sure that this agreement on the profile of learning is even going to pass the legislature, never mind what the governor might do with it.
Yes, that's accurate.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us today, and get some more rest.
I'm going to. Thank you.
Commissioner Christine Jacks, who is the head of the Department of Children, Families, and Learning here in the state of Minnesota, joining us this hour to talk about the agreement that was reached early this morning on the state's graduation standards, the higher standards, if you will, an agreement to modify the existing profile of learning program and also to offer Minnesota school districts an alternative called the North Star Standard.
I'm Ani DeFranco. Join me for the Mississippi River of Song, tracing the music and the musicians from the river's headwaters down to the Gulf.
A lot of stuff comes up the river, stories and music.
You can't find no river.
A lot more music than I've ever experienced anywhere else.
Next time, Midwestern Crossroads on Public Radio International.
Saturday night at 10 p.m. following the Jazz Image here on NPR in the Twin Cities. That's KNRW 91.1 FM. 5 minutes now before 12, and this is Midday on Minnesota Public Radio.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday, the 10th of May, 2000. It was on this day in 1907, Kenneth Graham wrote down his first words about toad, which grew into the book The Wind in the Willows, which came out the following year. Kenneth Graham was a banker. He was in an unhappy marriage. He and his wife were on a holiday when he wrote a letter to his five-year-old son, Alistair, to whom apparently he'd already begun to tell this story, because the letter begins right in the middle of it. He wrote, "Have you heard about Toad? He was never taken prisoner by brigands at all. It was all a horrid, low trick of his." He continued these stories in further letters on hotel stationery, and the boy's nanny saved them, and they were put together in a book. Reviewers did not think too much of this book. They complained that its descriptions of nature were inaccurate. They couldn't figure out why a mole would whitewash the walls of his burrow, why a water rat would have a boat, and so forth. It was on this day in 1872, Victoria Woodhull was nominated for the presidency of the United States by the Equal Rights Party. She was the first woman ever to run for the office of president. Victoria Woodhull was working as a traveling psychic healer when the Greek Demosthenes appeared to her in a vision and told her to go to New York City, where she became a stockbroker and ran a newspaper that published the Communist Manifesto in English for the first time in America. Her goals were the abolition of personal property, women's suffrage, an eight-hour workday, a graduated income tax, social welfare programs, and free love. She was denounced by newspapers, left and right. The women's movement of the time disowned her. She went on the attack and accused one of her attackers, the Reverend Henry Ward Beecher, of having an affair with his best friend's wife. For mailing this information, she was arrested for passing obscenity through the mail. She lost the election, of course, but her obscenity trial was a sensation in the press. She finally won the trial, moved to England, married a wealthy banker, and lived there for 50 more years and died in her sleep at the age of 88. And it was on this day in 1869 the final spike was driven to complete the first transcontinental railroad. About 10,000 Chinese laborers had built it from the west. 8 to 10,000 German, Irish, and Italians had built it from the east. And they met in Promontory Summit, Utah, just northwest of Ogden. Here's a poem for today by C.K. Williams, "The Dance." A middle-aged woman, quite plain, to be polite about it, and somewhat stout, to be more courteous still. But when she and the rather good-looking, much younger man she's with get up to dance, her forearm descends with such delicate lightness, such restrained but confident ardor, athwart his shoulder, drawing him to her with such a firm, compelling warmth, and moving him with effortless grace into the union she's instantly established with the not at all rhythmically solid music in this second-rate cafe, that something in the rest of us, some doubt about ourselves, some sad conjecture, seems to be allayed. Nothing that we'd ever thought of as a real lack, nothing not to be admired or be repentant for, but something to which we've never adequately given credence, which might have consoling implications about how we misbelieve ourselves, and so the world, that world beyond us which so often disappoints, but which sometimes shows us lovely what we are." A poem by C.K. Williams, "The Dance," from his collection Repair, published by Farrar, Straus, and Giroux, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday, May 10th. Made possible by 21NorthMain.com, where book lovers find more than 10 million used, rare, and antiquarian books on the web at 21NorthMain.com. Research by Stephen Dirkus. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Regional broadcasts of the Writer's Almanac are supported by Marquette Banks, your community bank, offering a broad range of financial services for your business and personal needs.
It's 12 noon. This is Midday on Minnesota Public Radio. News headlines are next, and then right after the news, we're going to hear from political analyst Norm Ornstein with some interesting thoughts on the presidential race, Congress, and the lack of foreign policy discussion in this country.
On the next All Things Considered, it was supposed to be the session of unicameralism, rebates, and LRT. We'll get a scorecard of Governor Ventura's second legislative session. It's All Things Considered, weekdays at 3 on Minnesota Public Radio.
You're listening to Minnesota Public Radio. We have some light rain, 54 degrees at KNWFM, 91.1 Minneapolis.